Hello, everyone. Welcome to Outbeat Radio on KRCB Windsor Santa Rosa, a program that focuses on issues by, for, and or about members of the gay, lesbian, bisexual, and transgender communities. You can hear Outbeat Radio every Sunday night at 8 p.m.
This is Living Proof, and we're your hosts. I'm Dr. Diana Greyer, and next to me is my co-host and wife, Sheridan Gold. Tonight, in honor of this month of thankfulness, being the month of Thanksgiving, our show is focusing on the gratefulness of surviving cancer and the gifts that come from fighting it. Our guest tonight, a cancer survivor and thriver, Susan K. Gilbert. Hello, Susan.
Hey, Diana. Hi, Sheridan. Susan. Thank you so much for inviting me tonight.
Very welcome. Susan is a woman of many talents that we'll get to learn about. She's an actor, TV host, poet, teacher, singer, pianist, and drummer. And she's going to share some of her music and her poetry, as well as some very interesting stories about her life. So we invite you to stay tuned for poetry, stories, and song.
But first, as always, here's news and events with Outbeat member and our engineer, Greg Moralia.
I have found Outbeat Radio News, your source for LGBT news from the North Bay and beyond.
Good evening, this is Greg Moralia with your Outbeat Radio News for this Sunday, November 3rd, 2013. At least three young people committed suicide in Italy this year, and roughly 500 advocates rallied outside Rome's Colosseum this last Wednesday night to hold the candlelight vigil and to demand laws to put a stop to homophobia. The activists were carrying candles, flowers, and signs reading, "I am gay," and "No homophobia." They were responding to the death last week of a 21-year-old gay man publicly identified as Simone D. Simone's suicide is the third reported instance of a gay young person taking their life in Rome this year. Aurelio Mancuso, who leads the Equality Italy Association, said, "We're here to launch a message against loneliness. We have to look after our young, gay or otherwise, in this city and country. We need a national plan to combat youth marginalization." Senate Vice President Valeria Fedeli, who participated in the vigil, agreed. She said the Italian Parliament needs to approve a law against homophobia as quickly as possible to restore equality, freedom, and respect to Italy. Italy does not have any sort of hate crime prevention or criminalization law, and when the lower house of Parliament considered anti-gay hate crime legislation earlier this year, staunch opposition from the Catholic Church stalled the bill. And here in the U.S., Senate Majority Leader Harry Reid told his Democratic caucus on Thursday that he will bring the Employment Non-Discrimination Act, otherwise known as ENDA, up for a vote this coming Monday. The bill needs to get 60 votes to clear a procedural hurdle ahead of the final vote, and as of Thursday, 59 senators publicly supported it. Meanwhile, Senator Rob Portman, whose son is gay, said Tuesday he is inclined to support the bill. ENDA has been introduced in several other congressional sessions and has gotten some hearings, but it hasn't received a vote on the House or Senate floor since November of 2007, when it passed the House 235-184. According to a poll conducted by the Huffington Post, half of Americans support a law banning job discrimination against gays and lesbians. But the poll also found that most Americans falsely believe it's already illegal nationally to fire someone for being gay. According to a new poll, 50% of Americans favor a law banning workplace discrimination against gays and lesbians, while 42% oppose one. And in Hawaii this week, marriage equality took a step forward to becoming a reality when Hawaii's state Senate approved a marriage equality bill by a vote of 20-4. The bill goes to a committee hearing in the state house, where the vote is likely to be closer, and where they may try to put more religious exemptions into the measure. It currently exempts clergy members who oppose same-sex marriage from having to perform such unions, but it does not allow for profit businesses to refuse on religious grounds. An amended bill would have to go back to the Senate for another vote. Clayton Hee, chair of the Senate Committee on Judiciary and Labor, called today's vote, quote, "a defining moment in all of our careers," and compared it to such landmarks as legalizing abortion and embracing interracial marriage. President Obama, who was born in the state's capital of Honolulu, weighed in on this debate. According to a White House spokesman, the president said that he believes in treating everyone fairly and equally with dignity and respect. And while the president does not weigh in on every measure being considered by state legislatures, he has endorsed similar initiatives for same-sex marriage in Illinois, Maine, Maryland, and Washington. Hawaii Governor Neil Abercrombie has pledged to sign the marriage equality bill into law. Now here's your calendar of events for the coming week. On Monday, November 4th, and every Monday at 5:30 p.m., the Petaluma Health Center will host an LGBT support group at 1179 North McDowell Boulevard in Petaluma. And also on Monday at 7 p.m., the Parents of Transgender Youth Support Group will meet at the Positive Images Center, 312 Chin Street in Santa Rosa. On Tuesday, November 5th at 10 a.m., the Napa LGBT Older Adults Discussion will gather at the Queen of the Valley Community Outreach Center, 3448 Villa Lane in Napa. On Thursday, November 7th from 7 to 9 p.m., the Men for Men Support Group will gather at the Marin AIDS Project, 910 Irwin Street in San Rafael. And on Saturday, November 9th at 7 p.m., the Russian River Sisters will present When You Wish Upon a Star Bingo at the Guerneville Veterans Memorial Hall, 1st and Church Streets in Guerneville. This event will benefit Sonoma County Pride. You can learn more and purchase your tickets at rrsisters.org. And for more information about local LGBT events happening here in the North Bay, be sure to visit gaysonoma.com. And if you have news or an event you'd like to share with our listeners, tell us about it by going to our own website at outbeatnews.com. Follow us all week long on Facebook and Twitter for the latest LGBT news and information from here in the North Bay and beyond. For Gary Carnevale, I'm Greg Moralia. Now back to Living Proof with Sheridan Gold and Dr. Diana Greyer.
Outbeat Radio News, your source for LGBT news from the North Bay and beyond.
Thank you, Greg. Wonderful job on the news, as usual. If you've just joined us, this is Sheridan and Diana. We're here on Living Proof, and our guest tonight is Susan K. Gilbert. And we want to welcome you once again, Susan.
Thank you.
We are going to start out with a song that you wrote and you are singing on. And we thought that we could let everybody get to hear your music before we get to know you and your story and things like that. So
sure.
Could you give us a little intro to your music, and then we'll just go right into it, and then we will continue with our interview after your song.
Oh, that sounds just swell. I wrote We Are Here because I was asked to speak at the Women's Cancer Awareness Holiday Party. And I like a party, but parties should have songs. So I wrote a song. I was inspired by all the beautiful women who belong to this organization and who are thriving after having had cancer. Some not thriving, but, you know, all along the spectrum of being here now. And so I wrote this song to honor that process.
Let's take a listen.
Stay. Oh, 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 Could hear you breathing over there, sighing.
Beautiful. Wow.
Thank you.
This feels like a fight song, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, the women, how did they respond when you...
You know, thank you for asking. We had a whole chorus of cancer thrivers who I practice with. We had rehearsals. And standing in front of, you know, the choir, preaching to the choir, it was awesome. And Lydia Zipp was the executive director of Women's Cancer Awareness Group, and Lydia is my inspiration as well. 10 years after stage 4 ovarian cancer, she is still here, she is still thriving. Hi, Lydia. I hope you're doing well over there. Mm. So she certainly inspired me and the group of women, and you too are inspiring to me.
Mm. Me, Diana.
Yeah, yeah. Diana. Mm-hmm. So, in my family, we have a panoply of people who have been affected by cancer, and I didn't think about it much. And then in winter of 2006, my dear father was ill, and he had had three types of cancer. And it was another disease that actually took him, but I became ill when my dad was dying. And I had been teaching for the Oakland Public Schools, and it was a very violent, very oppressive, very chaotic job. Not for anything the children were doing per se, but it's the system. And I happen to be a very highly sensitive person. So I think it was difficult for me to fully protect myself, and that's sort of when it had its formative period. So in April, I was diagnosed with uterine cancer, and in June 25th, I had my surgery, and they took out 18 lymph nodes, and every one of them was negative. And I later on, in October of that year, had a genetic test, and it turned out I had Lynch syndrome. Have you heard of Lynch syndrome?
I haven't.
The Reader's Digest version, it is a genetic mutation, and it is common in Ashkenazi Jews, of which I am one. And it can lead to a predisposition to six other types of cancer. So it's wonderful for me to know my status, because then other relatives of mine can get tested in a timely fashion, and we can save more lives.
Mm-hmm. Wow. So you had that. You had the test. And what did they say? I mean, what happens after that?
It was positive for Lynch. This means that I have a 70% likelihood of getting other types of cancer. And it means I just have more frequent screenings to ensure that that doesn't happen.
So are you like on a regular schedule?
Yes.
How often do you?
I get yearly MRIs.
Oh.
And to preserve the functions that I had taken away when they took the ovaries out, I have supplemental estrogen and progesterone. And every once in a while, when I want to feel like a butch, I'll take the testosterone.
How often is that, Susan?
Well, it depends if there are any attractive femmes around. But no, I do prefer the butches. Greg, it's lucky you're sitting on the other side of the room. He's blushing.
I love your sense of humor, Susan.
Thank you.
Talking about such a deep issue and subject matter, you know, to have some humor is really important.
Well, I do think that humor is healing, don't you?
Mm, oh, definitely.
Yeah.
So there's also So, I mean, you have, there's so much to talk about
okay,
with you.
Okay, let's do it.
You know, it's like which direction you want to go.
You mentioned your father being sick.
Yes.
Yeah.
And tell us a little bit about that and how you dealt with that.
Oh, yeah. Well, on the last night of his life, which was November 3rd, this night.
Oh, tonight. That's right.
This
how many
night,
years ago?
I honor my father 7 years ago. Mm. I held his hand. And as I was holding his hand and telling him how he was deeply, deeply loved, I think he got the message. And then at 6 in the morning, after a fitful night, he took my hand and pulled it over to the side of his knee. And I looked at his face, and he kind of gave me a wink and pulled it back. So here's a poem I'd like to share with you. It's the poem for my father's last night. It's 8 p.m. and I just got the call. Lois said Dad doesn't have time left at all. I'm driving 580, the rain coming down, my tears and the wipers the only sounds. When I pull up, it's quiet, most patients asleep. I stand in your doorway and take a breath deep. The aide said, "What would your dad like for dinner?" With perfect sincerity and innocence inner. I take hold your hand, and till the sun rises, your soul tells me secrets, the oldest and wisest. I'm sending you love in these final hours. I finally admit it. I have no more powers. My head on your heart, I can feel our connection. I cannot stop seeing your handsome complexion. The rides on your shoulders, the stories in bed, all these old images come into my head. Still holding hard, our hands won't let go. My fear is that if I do, then you won't know how dearly I love you and can't stand your pain and want you to heal, sick, never again. Just as I'm leaving, you give a strong squeeze and pull my hand quickly to the side of your knees. I look at your face, you give me a wink. You're arm wrestling now, although on the brink. Between here and your journey, you're ready, my dad. My heart is so full with you, and I have had the greatest of gifts, your kindness and presence. From now and through ever, I honor your essence.
Wow. Beautiful. Powerful.
Thank you.
Have you thought about putting that to melody?
Yeah, today. I did today. I actually was thinking today when I was playing my other song, which you'll hear halfway through, that I want to write a lyric for my dad, for melody for Mark. But yes, good idea, Sheridan.
Well, you know, you reading this, and I can just see the picture of you driving down the freeway crying, and then you get to your dad's room, and he's trying to arm wrestle with you. I mean, I'm just...
Yeah.
Your images are very vivid.
Thank you.
And you have a really wonderful voice, and so I just thought, gosh, this might be a nice little tune that you come up with.
Oh, that's very sweet of you. Thank you. Well, I'll have to do it then.
It sounds like your relationship with him, you had a wonderful relationship with him.
Indeed. I have to say, my dear stepmother, Lois, and my father, it was my stepmother's idea the day after I came out to them by sending them a book, Coming Out to Parents. Oh. In the mail. Oh,
with cool. A letter or no?
A letter. Uh-huh. Very didactic. Uh-huh. So Lois said to Dad, well, you should do this. And sure enough, at work, they sent me a dozen red roses and they said, we love you.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
If every child could have that from their parents, man.
And you know it doesn't happen for everybody. I'm sure you know people for whom this did not happen. Mm-hmm. And within a half an hour after I heard from them, my mom called me and said, I love you. You're my darling daughter. I love you.
Oh, Oh.
Wow. Yeah.
Did you ever hesitate to come out? I'm just curious.
Indeed. I was living in Boston at the time, and I, yeah. I mean, I couldn't come out to them here. It was too close for comfort, so I waited until after I came out in Boston and then came back to the Bay Area. When I felt like I had gotten sort of an edge in Boston, I was toughened up. And I thought, well, you know, I can take this risk. I had my own apartment. I had my own dough. I got my job. So I was ready, willing, and able to take the risk, and I'm sure glad I did. And even my stepfather has been very loving. Thank you, Joe.
How sweet.
Mm. Yeah.
So did that bring you closer with your father? Because we were saying that it sounded like you have a really great relationship with him.
Indeed. It sounds like I didn't ever answer that question. I'm sorry.
It's okay.
No.
Yes, my father took me to my first opera. Mm-hmm. I wore my Peter Max high-top tennis shoes and my red and white check dress, and we went to see Carmen at the San Francisco Opera House. Mm-hmm. And we went fishing, and my father taught me music appreciation, as did my mother. Mm-hmm. And do you mind if I read one other poem about the cancer?
Oh, not at all. Oh. Can you say a little bit about it, how it came to be in existence?
Oh, sure, the poem?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, well, it came to existence because I got this diagnosis, and I had some feelings about the diagnosis, and I had some feelings about prior to the diagnosis, and so those feelings led to this poem. It's called CNH is pure cane sugar from Hawaii. And there I was, lying on the beach in Waikiki, just 3 short months after my dear dad's demise. Why should he be reduced to vanishing smoke in the sky while I'm lying here languishing in paradise? Something's wrong with this picture. Fast forward 3 months later, back in Berkeley, the results from my endometrial biopsy were adenocarcinoma, hyperplasia in a background of complex atypia. The doctor translated my diagnosis from Latin to English. First, he said the C word. You have the good cancer. My mind raced, trying to make sense of the deadly connotation of the word cancer and his affixing the innocuous word good in front of it. Without hesitation, I told the well-intentioned doc, do not now nor ever affix the adjective good to the noun cancer when giving a diagnosis to a patient. Then he used the word H, hysterectomy. Hysterectomy, not a walk in the park, but rather the end of my fertile adulthood and the beginning of my surgically induced menopause, which would later mean horrific hot flashes, insomnia, depression, mood swings, weight gain, brain fog, memory loss, and thunderclap headaches. CNH is not pure cane sugar, after all.
Mm. Your poetry just leaves me, quite frankly, a little stunned. I need some time to take it all in, but we're on radio and we can't just sit in silence, you know?
Oh, no.
But I want to sit in silence right now and take that all in. That is just an amazing poem.
Oh, thank you so much.
Beautiful.
I appreciate your willingness to hear it.
Yeah. You have a lot inside of you.
Thanks.
I mean, you probably have journals and journals of written material about this experience for you.
Well, you know, strangely, Diana, I have little in terms of the actual cancer experience, but I have had some curious experiences in my life, one of which I wanted to tell you about. Well, I used to work as a security guard at the Opera Plaza. I was a crime fighter. Yeah.
Hmm.
And have you ever been to the Opera Plaza in San Francisco?
Mm-hmm.
It's a condo complex where you have Max's and used to be Modesto Lanzoni's and, yeah.
Is that near the Opera House?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
So on the corner, they've got a fountain and they've got movie theaters. It's a little 601 Van Ness. It's 400 condos.
Oh.
So I used to work there. Well, you and I both, all three of us, went to SF State. So, you know, in the 80s, we lost a lot of friends to AIDS. And it was a very difficult time for us. So one of my dear friends, Paul Dubois, I lost him in 1993. And I was at his bedside, also holding vigil for him at the Zen Hospice Center on Page Street. And we were very, very close, and it was a very painful death. So, 2 years later, I was having dinner. And here's the restaurant. Do you see where those CDs are? About 30 feet away. There was a woman who was furiously scribbling, writing, and ignoring this steaming hot plate of pasta. She had long black hair, and her skin was alabaster white. And she got up from her plate of pasta and came over to me. And she said, "Do you have a friend named Paul?" And I said, "I had a friend named Paul, but he died." And she said, "This is from Paul."
And what did she hand you?
She handed me this note. And this note says, "Tell her she's a yellow ribbon rose giving strength." Now I can feel the goosebumps. "Tell her that I'm sorry for her pain, but I'm really okay with my transition. And if she would like to let go of the union, the link. She was like a part of me, so the ritual she'll create is a gift to me, I'll accept with love. For the courage she shared with me, and I will take her stories with me to another time when we will meet again, sing, dance, move through the lessons we've learned, and shared together. Thank you, dear one. Love you always."
So this
amazing
woman walked up to you. She was writing ferociously, mm-hmm, and she gives you this letter, and mm-hmm, she says, "This is from Paul." So she was a medium?
My belief is she was a medium, some type of spirit guide.
Mm.
And the first few times I told this story with my goosebumps and hair rising on the back of my neck, I didn't believe it myself. And I have one witness whose name is Juliet, because she was dining with me. So she can verify it, corroborate it.
Mm-hmm. Wow. And because she got the name right, Paul. So, yeah.
So what did you do?
How did you respond?
I immediately burst out into tears like a faucet. I didn't know what to do. I was crying in my soup like a faucet. And I looked up at her and I said, "Thank you." We finished our dinner. She went back to her writing and I never saw her again.
Wow, amazing.
That's something else, isn't it?
Were you able to release him and let him?
Well, yeah, and I think especially here, since he said he was, I should tell you this because you are Sheridan, very much involved in theater, and I know Diana, you know, you're a writer, mm-hmm, and do spoken word and such. Do you know the Marsh Theater in San Francisco?
No.
So Paul performed there, and he was a drummer, he was a pianist, he sang. Yeah. So to answer your question, yeah, I guess I'm singing. So that helps release it.
So before you weren't singing, is that what you're saying? Before the note or?
I had never seriously considered recording music or doing things that were creative in that regard before this experience.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, I had already begun my TV show.
Well, we're going to get to your TV show after our music break.
Wonderful.
But we would like to play your second song that you brought for us tonight.
How nice.
Could you speak a little bit about the song and what prompted you to write it?
Yes. I'm a fan of Dvorak, and I heard Dvorak's Symphony in E minor, the Largo movement, which you may be more familiar with as the New World Symphony. And it struck me right in my soul. And at the time, my brother was dying, my dear brother, Mark Gilbert, who played saxophone for Gladys Knight and the Pips and the Four Tops, the Temptations, very talented in his own right. And I sat down and I wrote melody for Mark for him. My lyrics, my music, inspired by Dvorak.
Let's take a listen.
If you're just joining us, you're listening to Living Proof on KRCB FM Windsor Santa Rosa. It's holiday time and food for thought. The Sonoma County AIDS Food Bank needs your help to provide Thanksgiving dinner for some 675 residents affected by HIV/AIDS in Sonoma County. A donation of just $20 can provide a turkey, stuffing, sweet potatoes, cranberries, and a pumpkin pie for a family of five. And if cash is tight, Food for Thought is also looking for a variety of food items you likely have in your house right now. You can learn more about how to help by going to the Food for Thought website at fftfoodbank.org or by calling 887-1647. Now back to Living Proof.
Thank you, Greg. So Melody for Mark just finished playing, and that was just a very beautiful, beautiful song to your brother.
Thank you.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
That's what we were talking about as far as the gifts that come from from this disease. Yes. Because had that not happened, this song wouldn't be here.
Yeah.
You know, both right. of your songs wouldn't be here.
Right.
So I wanted to just let people know how we met, Susan.
All right. I'll listen while you say it.
We are on the Lesbians on the Go listserv.
Okay.
And every once in a while we get what's going on in the, you know, community. And you had written a note to anyone saying that you had this music. And then if you were a cancer survivor or you knew someone who was a cancer survivor, that you would like to donate the CD to that person. And I thought, wow. Well, Diana's a survivor and a thriver, so I'm going to order the CD. And so I wrote to you personally and
yes.
said, yeah, but we would like your music. And so you said, great, and you sent it. Like,
yes.
the next 2 days, we got it in the mail. Like, you know, sometimes you say, yes, I'm interested.
Checks in the mail.
You know, you might not get it forever or might yeah. be, you know, another month or something.
Uh-huh.
But we got it.
So then we, I showed Diana. I said, Diana, Susan donated this CD to you, specifically for you. And so we took it out and started listening to it.
And so I think we listened to it together, right?
Yeah, we listened to it together.
And I say, wow, wow, beautiful lyrics, both songs. And it was like, oh, so then Cheryl, we talked and we're going to have you on the radio show so we can learn more about you because it was.
Well, and that's not all, Diana. I am coming to your home tomorrow and I'm going to be giving you a singing lesson.
Aww. What? Oh my word. Cher.
Well,
this is a surprise. Come on.
See, we know that for the longest time you have been wanting to learn how to sing.
Oh.
And therefore.
Oh, my word. You're going to make me cry.
Well, that's
on,
my job is
air.
To make you cry.
Well,
no, but seriously, it won't be tomorrow. I have to say it won't be tomorrow because I got to help Mom in the garden. But I am more than willing to come to your home as long as you feed me.
Oh.
And I'm going to have you sing that song.
Really?
We are here.
Oh, that's going to be so cool.
Oh,
mm-hmm.
Wow.
Yes. Well, it was so great that we found this music, we found you, and we asked you, would you consider being a guest on our show? And you live in Petaluma.
Yes.
It was like, wow, you live in Petaluma. That's awesome. And
yeah.
so you're here. And
yeah.
it's just, you know, you just never know where a friendship can go
yeah.
or, you know, like Greg, our engineer, we had Greg and Tony on as our guests. And then
yeah.
all of a sudden, Greg, now he's part of our Outbeat group. And now he's engineering our shows and he's a good friend. I mean,
he has his own show.
He has a mellifluous voice.
I mean,
I love
it's,
him.
It's just an amazing thing.
Yeah.
So.
Well, yeah, you never know what yeah. things are going to happen. And I was just so incredibly excited when you invited me. So thank you. But I have to tell you, Diana, I see a little bit of, you know, a little kind of timidness when I mention singing. A lot of people are they don't grow up in a household where people are encouraged to be expressive. And I have to tell you, singing is your birthright. Singing and dancing is your birthright.
Mm.
You cannot allow anybody to take that from you.
Mm, that's beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I can't wait to see what you can do for me.
Okay. Okay.
No, people always say I have this voice that I can, mm-hmm. there's something's there.
Yes.
But I'm not musically inclined.
Yes.
And so, you know, as far as keeping the rhythm and beats
yeah.
and stuff.
All right.
You know, that kind of thing. But
let me be the judge.
So get back to
right.
your CD that you created
yeah.
and the invitation to,
oh, yes.
to give it to people. I
yeah.
mean, to invite people in to
well
to it, receive it. I mean, that's huge. I mean, that's
well, I just got tired of being rejected. I'll tell you the truth. I have been beating down people's doors. The American Cancer Society, Stand Up to Cancer, Making Strides, Relay for Life. And either I talked to a robot, I talked to the answering machine, the national office told me to talk to the local office, who told me to talk to the national office, who told me no way. And everywhere I went, I was being rejected. And I thought, this is not good enough for me. I will get my music out into the world to the people who need to hear it. And so I decided, hey, last week I still sent it on to Ellen. I'm still waiting to hear from Ellen. But while I'm waiting to hear from Ellen, I want Diana and any other lesbian or gay man who's listening who would like a copy to go to Susan K. Gilbert, which is my full name, K-A-Y Gilbert, at yahoo.com, and say, hey, Susan, I need a CD. I need to be here. Now, if you're a rich lesbian out there and you want to send me money so I can make more CDs to send to other lesbians, I'm not going to turn away your check.
So you say the information again.
Yeah.
Because I think that's really important.
Oh, sure. Well, you're welcome to contact me at my email address, which is my full name, SusanKayGilbert at yahoo.com, if you want a copy of the CD or if you want to help make that a reality for other cancer thrivers.
Wonderful.
Mm-hmm. Let's talk a little bit about the other projects that you've been involved in.
Okay.
Right before we went to Melody for Mark, you mentioned a TV show. And you sent us your autobiography before our show so we could do a little prep. And I noticed that you're a drummer, and
yeah.
I'm a drummer, and that you're a pianist, and you graduated in drama from San Francisco State.
Yeah.
So you did a TV show, and it's like, tell us a little bit about who Susan is.
Well, it feels like when you ask that question, though, we've almost run in the same circles, haven't we? Nearly.
Mm-hmm.
I studied piano and drums from the time I was 9 and 13. I was in the orchestra, the jazz ensemble, the marching band. I had two bands in high school, Strawberry Jam and the Fuchsia Farmers, you know, like Fuchsia Farmers of America. those didn't work out, but I just kept going. I was the drummer in the Kit Kat Club band in Cabaret. James Dunn did the fantastic version of Cabaret in 1990 at College of Marin. And then I moved to Boston, and I taught performing arts in an overprivileged Jewish girls' camp called Romaca. And then I moved to Boston there, and then moved back, and then... Yeah, the inappropriate show, TV for lesbians or for people who look like lesbians.
So tell us a little bit about that.
All right. I produced it in another name called the Susan K's Wide World of Women, beginning in 1993. I won an award for it, named after Ricky Stryker, who was the owner of Maud's and Amelia's in San Francisco.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. Do you spend a couple hours there?
Yeah.
After those San Francisco State basketball games and softball games, you were lifting a couple? Yeah?
Yeah, we've gone.
Playing the pool and listening to Sweet Dreams Are Made of These and Here Comes the Rain Again on the jukebox.
There you go.
Yeah. I was the executive producer. I was the script writer. I organized an all-lesbian crew of volunteers who actually included one FTM later on when FTMs were in fashion. Just kidding. fantastic Lee. That was Lee. And we featured outstanding Bay Area lesbians, authors, actors, artists. Prior to that, I was the anchor woman for the Gay Cable Television Network in San Francisco. And every one of those handsome young men, before they got a chance to get a gray hair, died.
Mm.
And I'm the only survivor.
Mm. So say that again. I didn't quite understand you. The what show? You were host for what?
I was the anchor woman for the Gay Cable Television Network.
I didn't even know one existed.
Yes, and it still exists in New York. Lou Maletta, M-A-L-E-T-T-A, was the, I think he still is, the executive producer. And it started in the 80s, and they had, I think, one in Atlanta, maybe one in, for sure, one in New York, and ours was in San Francisco. And it was in John Canale's house, and His roommate was the makeup artist, and I was the anchor woman, and we did a short interview with Lily Tomlin and Jane Wagner when they came to do Search for Signs of Intelligent Life in the Universe.
Oh, yeah.
Did you see it?
Yes. Yes, we did.
Fantastic show. Mm-hmm. But they're gone. They're all gone. They all died of AIDS.
Mm-hmm.
Every one of them. It's very, very sad.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
What was that? Is that show archived? I mean, can people see that show?
That's a good question. Right now, it's on videotapes, and day by day, you know, they're falling apart, which is really a problem.
Mm-hmm.
They should have been converted, and they haven't been.
Mm. And you have how many years of history?
Well, I can tell you my show is archived. Uh-huh. I produced The Inappropriate Show. I have 50 of those shows, and they are on CD. I did convert every one of them, mm-hmm. I believe, every one of them, or most of them, to CD-ROM.
Okay.
Yeah.
Now, is that available on YouTube at all for people to go check out? Or?
No, it is not. And that is because, I'll give you the Reader's Digest version of why. Only the two clips which you have seen, the one of Melody D'Amour, if you go to YouTube and put my name in, you'll find that compilation of Melanie and Lisa Cohen and Gigi Cohen and Liquid Girlfriend, and also Amy Sueyoshi interview on her website, the Associate Dean of Ethnic Studies at San Francisco State. The others... I had a website, but I was vigorously looking for employment, and I kind of had to de-dike myself on the webs, on the web. You know what I'm talking about?
De-dike.
Yeah. You know, when you take the books off of your bookshelf when, you know, your relatives come to visit.
I've never heard that term, but I think it's a great term.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So... who knows? Maybe someday when I'm gainfully employed, I can put the videos and the website all back up so folks can enjoy them.
Are you still looking for work now?
Vigorously.
What kind of work are you looking for?
Well, I am a highly sensitive person. I do really well with you and Greg and Diana. And I think I'm looking for work that would affirm my talents. Yeah.
You have so many. I mean, come on.
You're so sweet.
You do. It's like, come on, you got to narrow it down somehow.
Yeah, and I guess you know, you're both artists, so you know the challenge. The real challenge in life is how does one take an artistic square peg and put it delicately and meaningfully into this round hole that is a paycheck?
Right.
Mm.
So you know.
A lot of people struggle with that.
Yes.
I think more and more people are saying no to the traditional work, 9-to-5 job, and wanting more to listen to their hearts and souls and try to satisfy what's that deep yearning inside,
yes.
You know?
Well, absolutely. And you have to look at what are you willing to sacrifice in terms of material goods for your soul?
That's right.
Are you willing to sell your soul to the man? And perhaps, well, no, I'm not going to diss myself that way. I'm going to put it this way. It's a strength that I've chosen not to so far.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, good for you, you know, and we wish you the best of luck on your job searches. If somebody were listening to us, to our interview right now, and they're kind of interested by you, and they might want to think about hiring you, what could you tell them right now in one or two sentences?
Well, it's interesting. It sounds like you'd make a great headhunter for me, Sheridan. Do I have to give you 10% of any jobs I get as a result
of this?
Why not?
You donate your music, you make the world a better place. Why not give you a couple minutes to sell yourself?
So sweet of you.
Exactly.
I am a published author. Some of my columns and my community activism has been published in the Petaluma Argus Courier, in Bay Times, and Frontiers magazine, which was an old gay rag. Mm-hmm. So I'm a fairly talented writer. I think I could do writing, no arithmetic. you know, I loved what I did as the executive producer of The Inappropriate Show. Mm-hmm. But it, these things, you know, again, it's what sustains the soul and what sustains the bank account, two different things.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And yeah, it seems like music is something that you would love, like getting some contract, some kind of contract with your CD, some music.
Well, precisely. Mm-hmm. You know, I know that you were going to ask me this later, but I'm just going to jump ahead. Yeah. I mean, ideally, if I could get another prominent cancer thriver, think Melissa Etheridge, think Sheryl Crow, and license this We Are Here song and have them sing it and make me a $5 millionaire, I'm okay with that.
There you go. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because the other half of this equation is, yeah, I want to give it away, but yeah, it's copywritten. Mm-hmm. And yeah, I belong to ASCAP. You know, I belong to the Songwriters of America. Mm-hmm. And I would like to be able at some point in time to get that type of monetary affirmation. Mm. That would be awesome. Mm,
yeah. Well, we wish you the best in that.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. In that pursuit of yours. You know,
we are
winding down. And
yes.
We always ask our guests
Do we have to go there now? We have much time? We have a little bit of time?
Okay. What's on your mind, Diana?
I'm just curious with Susan about if you can just speak about your energy and your get up and your enthusiasm. And I mean, you've done so much. I mean, we didn't cover that, and I feel like that's really important to get to know you even more so.
Oh, how do you speak to that? It's sort of an ineffable quality, isn't it? That's a hard question to answer. You know, I've been to Japan. I lived there for a time. I think when you go as far away from home as I have, it provides you with more ability to microscopically examine your soul. Mm. And I think that's what I was lucky enough to do. Mm-hmm. And I try to be very present. I try to listen very hard when people speak to me. Mm-hmm. To listen not only to the words, but also the subtext, the context. And in that listening and in that being with people, I think there's a lot to be learned. Mm-hmm. So I'm working on a new song, and part of the lyric there is, I'm here to learn but not to teach.
Mm. Wonderful.
Yeah. May I also add one thing? I forgot to mention that it was on the 14th of February, on Valentine's Day, when I went to the Live Musicians Co-op up in Santa Rosa to record these songs, and I worked with David L. Menard, and he was an outstanding audio engineer, so I appreciated his help on We Are Here and Melody for Mark.
Mm-hmm. Good. Well,
thank you. Yeah.
Yes.
Well, Diana, even though Diana didn't frame the question like I was going to frame it, you certainly started the answer of the question I was going to ask, which is advice from you. And I mean, I overwhelmingly hear from you to pay attention to soul.
Yes.
So the question that I have as we're ending our hour together is advice for people, whether they be up-and-coming musicians, whether they be cancer survivors, thrivers, or still sick. I mean, what kind of advice do you have for people and to get in touch with their soul? What would you say to folks?
Tell me, I know we're on air and all, but how much time approximately do I have? And
about
then I can
2 minutes.
Gauge my answer.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that helps. Let me just say I was in a triathlon in Japan, and midway I fell off my bike. I was knocked off by a Japanese man who cut me off and hit my face, and everything was injured. And I picked myself up and did the other 49K and did the 9K run and did the 1K swim. And so succinctly, the Japanese expression, fall down 7 times, get back up 8. I think in my life's story makes the most sense to me. And in the final minute, just advice to others, aspire to be a steward of your community. I'm grateful for the opportunity to have had a meaningful impact on my community, whether it means my music or advocating for a no-smoking buffer zone at our Petaluma Transit bus stops.
Yes.
What happened with
yes.
that? You didn't...
Oh, it passed. Yeah, mm-hmm. the city council approved it. And so now it is law in Petaluma, just like it was in Oaktown, just like it always has been in San Francisco and Berkeley for the last 10 years.
Excellent. Mm-hmm.
And, you know, singing at the bedsides of patients at Petaluma Hospital, which is what I do too. Every person, I believe, has the opportunity to leave this world a better place than the one she was born into. That would be my hope for everyone who is listening today. And I hope, through the grace of Goddess, that I have done that too.
Can you repeat that one more time?
I hope that for the grace of Goddess, that I have made this place a better place than I was born into. Was that good grammar?
It's good enough.
It's good enough. I'm good enough.
Good enough.
I'm
beautiful.
Big enough.
Thank
I'm
you,
proud
Susan
enough.
K. Gilbert, for joining
Yay!
Us this hour.
Next time we're going to have you sing in studio.
Okay.
Nice. So thank you, Diana and Greg, for helping this show be a wonderful show.
Thank you.
I want to, thank you for being our guest tonight, Susan. And to you listeners out there, I want you to remember that, like Susan, you too can be living proof that through sharing your story, you can help our community be visible and seen and embraced as vibrant, proud, and courageous. Until next month,
good night.
Tune in next Sunday night for Outbeat Music with Michaela Kennan. That's at 8 p.m. and only here on KRCB Radio. Your weather for the coming week looks clear and dry through Friday with highs in the upper 60s and low 70s with nighttime lows around 40 degrees. Next chance of rain is next Saturday. Support for Outbeat Radio on KRCB-FM comes from members and from the new Hansel Subaru, now open in Santa Rosa, featuring the full line of new 2014 Subarus with symmetrical all-wheel drive. Hansel Subaru on Corby Avenue or at hanselsubaru.com. You're listening to KRCB-FM Windsor, Santa Rosa. News, arts, and ideas where you are. It's just before 9 p.m. Stay with us. Climate One is next.
Yeah, so do it today, yeah, 'cause I can see you. Yeah, 'cause you could be so many.